Inside Mommy Athletics podcast, where we bring you the pulse of the Panthers athletic scenes.
And I'm your host, Jeremy Schneider. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to order your Inside Mommy Athletics merch. We're lucky to be a part of the Juke Mode Here for Good campaign, where a portion of all sales goes back to the small business or nonprofit. We have IMA t-shirts for sale through March 23rd, and half of the money we make will go to the Mommy Athletic Booster Scholarship Fund. If you're looking to support the work I do with IMA and the boosters, head over to our social media pages or our website, InsideMommyAthletics.com, to find the link to pre-order a shirt. Again, the pre-sale is over on March 23rd, so time's running out. Our guest this week is Mommy softball coach Brian Jones. The Panthers have won back-to-back district titles, and with their young, talented roster, they're in a great spot to make it three straight titles. With proven talent like Bryn Mayer, Taylor Smith, Autumn Guger, Hannah Ruiz, Julia Kucher, and Rain Hurt, we're right in the middle of what could be an unheard-of streak for Mommy softball. Jones talks about why the second district title maybe meant a little bit more, or at least something different to him and the team. How all of that success is affecting his players and their expectations heading into this season. Why it's important to have strong relationships with his players. And what he does to keep them fresh and prevent burnout at the end of a long school year. Here's my talk with Brian Jones. I'm going to start this off and say back-to-back district champions. That's what you guys enter this season as.
Yes.
When I say that, what does that mean to you, and how can that impact 2025?
It's very special to me because it's one of the goals we had years ago when we started building the program.
Right.
Going into this year, the girls are already talking about trying to three-peat.
Yeah.
Which is huge. We have a few goals this year, and that is definitely one of them. But it's also nice to say that we did it not only one year, because I think if you do it one year, it's kind of a fluke. And then we do it another year. It shows that the girls are buying into the system and that we can do this. Yes.
Talk about that buy into the system, because I know not a long slog or like a difficult, but I mean, there were some lean times. There were some lean years. And whether that was because we were in the NLL and playing those Perrysburg, Anthony Wayne, Springfield teams or whatever the case may be, you know, this didn't happen overnight. So can you talk about that growth and how special that is to now get to this point because of all that?
Yeah. And I think one of the things is we use a phrase called focus on the process, not the outcome. And that's more for when you're hitting, because you could hit a nice solid line drive and the shortstop could catch it. It's a good quality bat. Or you can hit a weak ground ball up the middle and it's a base hit. So we tell them to focus on the process, not the outcome. And I think we took that as a team also, is when you're playing games, you might not be playing well or you might be playing well, but you still got to focus on the process, not the outcome. We played some good games in the NLL against Anthony Wayne, Perrysburg, Springfield. They were just that much better than us.
Right.
It's hard to accept that sometimes, but I think as the girls got better, we just scrimmaged Perrysburg and Anthony Wayne last week and we competed with them.
Yeah.
Okay. Two of the best teams in the state. It was 1-1 going into the fifth inning against Anthony Wayne, and they're going to be state ranked.
Oh, wow.
Okay. With their number one pitcher. So I think when you focus on the process and not the outcome, the outcome's eventually going to come. You just got to stay on that process mindset, if that's is. And I think the girls have bought into that. It started probably about 4 years ago.
Right.
And then we're slowly starting to get, now all the girls are like, we want more. We want more. And one of the phrases we started about 3 years ago, and they actually have on the back of their shirts this year, is be happy, but don't be satisfied.
Oh, I like that.
Because we won a few games and we were like, hey, we're happy, but let's not be satisfied. Let's go for more. And that's the kind of the thought process going into this year. We won 20 games last year, but be happy about it, but don't be satisfied, because you could always do more.
Right. And I feel like you guys are in a position now where Evan's trying to get the football team and where I think Chad might be there with the boys soccer team. But Raph's trying to get the girls basketball team there. Todd probably trying to get the baseball team there. Is this something that can be translated to the other sports what can they learn from watching this process of what this softball team did?
And I think it can. And actually Brad Kieran, I don't know, we work together. So,
He
actually just asked me about that this morning. He asked me if he thought winning, you know, starts breeding into other seasons. And I think it does, but I think it starts breeding into other sports too.
Yeah.
Because I think you saw some of that in the girls basketball this year with Rain and Taryn playing together and Taylor Smith and all them playing together. And it fills in. And I don't know if you know this, but Lucy Porter is actually on our team as team manager.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing because they all get along. And the kind of the goal is to get her a little bit of play time later in the year because she's been such a great team manager already and the kids love her.
Yeah.
And I think the chemistry, if you can do it the right way, is just they trust each other.
Right.
I think that's huge. I saw it with the football team this year going in from last year to this year. I've seen it with the girls basketball team. I've seen it with the soccer team. And I think you'll see it in other sports to where we all know winning in the NLL was tough, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a mental thing now that they expect to not only be competitive, but some of these girls expect to win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got some girls that like Rain Hurt when she doesn't get a base hit, she gets mad. Like she expects to be perfect.
Sure.
You know, and we try to teach you don't have to be perfect, but that's the expectations. We have high expectations this year for sure.
So two things from that. Talk a little bit more about that chemistry, because I think that's something that a lot of coaches talk about and everybody wants it, but not a lot of people have it. How is that something you can build, or is that something that just has to happen?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think you can build it. I think we have built it in the softball program, and it comes with trust with each other. And I think it starts with the coaching, and I think it's called you build relationships, right?
Right.
One of the things I think we've done great in our softball program is we go out and watch these kids when they're, you know, in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade.
Yeah.
You know, so we built that relationship not only with the kids, but with the parents. I mean, a lot of these kids, I watched them play like Julia Kuchar, Rain Hurt, Taryn Pyle. I watched them when they were in fourth and fifth grade.
Yeah.
So now that they get to high school, they have that trust and relationship, not only with the coaches, but with the players. And some of these kids have played travel ball together for years, like Taryn Rain, Lily Nye, Taryn Pyle, Julia Kuchar, Jamie Brooks. They've all played travel ball together. So now it's meshed into that chemistry to where we'll be at practice and you can just tell they all get along. And then when one of them makes a mistake, they get called out by their teammate, but they don't take it personal.
Right.
It's like, okay, you're going to hold me accountable. That's great. I'm going to do better because then I want to prove you that I can do it. You know? So it's that accountability, that chemistry. It's just a great feeling to have when I can sit back on a bucket and watch them practice.
Yeah.
And I've always said player-led teams will be more successful than coach-led teams. Mm. This team is led by a bunch of true athletes that want to win. And it's a great feeling to sit back and watch.
So you mentioned with somebody like Rain, when she doesn't get a base hit, she gets angry. And I know there's a few personalities like that on this team, I believe. That's a great thing to have because you want that competitiveness. But as a coach, how do you ride that razor's edge between letting them be that competitive, but also talking them off the ledge? Because that can be detrimental at times too.
It can be, and it's hard. It's hard with a few of them because they want to be perfect, and they want to be perfect not only for themselves but for their teammates.
Yeah.
So they think, okay, I struck out. I just let my teammates down. Well, yeah, you did, but Miguel Cabrera struck out 200 times a year also.
Sure.
So one of the hardest things to do in sport is hit a round ball with a round bat coming at you 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So we try to teach them that, you know, you're not always going to be successful. I tell them every year, everybody's going to strike out once, at least once. Everybody's going to have an error. I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to have one of you guys thrown out at home at least every other game because that's how we are.
Yeah.
Short memory, long game. Forget about it and go on.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to tell them. And it is hard sometimes when they're competitive, but you just kind of I can look at one of them and they know what I'm going to say, or certain we don't even say a word. We just let them, you know, throw their helmet for a few seconds and then be done.
So, right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and softball, baseball are those sports like in basketball, you want to hit 70% from the free throw line. Yeah. In football, you want to have a 55-65% completion percentage. Yeah. I mean, in softball and baseball, really, if you get a hit one out of three times, you're doing pretty good. So that's got to be kind of a little bit of the message too, right?
Yeah, and that's what we talk about every year. We talk about the mental part of the game, and we talk about that. You fail 7 out of 10 times, and you're still an all-star at your sport, right?
Right.
And I try to explain to them that softball and baseball is so unique. It's the only team sport that I know where when you're on offense, you don't control the ball. The pitcher does on defense. Every other team sport, soccer, basketball, football, Hockey, the offense controls the game.
Yeah.
Baseball, you don't control it. The pitcher does. So you're already at a disadvantage. It's basically one against nine in baseball and softball as a hitter.
Yeah.
You know, so they can control it. So it's such a unique game that you have to go up there with that mental edge of saying, I'm going to do this. But then when you don't do it, you're like, oh crap. Well, I got to get it next time.
Right.
You know, it's such a unique sport that a lot of people don't understand that. And you know, this, you fail 7 out of 10 times and you're like, oh crap, I suck. No, you don't. No. You're really good at what you do. It's just a hard sport to do. Yes.
I never thought about it that way. Yeah. That's a really and you're right. In every other sport.
Yes.
The offense controls it.
Every other team sport, the offense controls the ball except for baseball and softball. Yes.
Wow. I never thought about it. That's incredible. That's a good way of looking at it. So with that in mind, you've got a girl coming back, a junior in Hannah Ruiz is really good in that circle. Can you talk about having somebody like that? And I know you'll say it, Hannah will say it. It's also about the nine girls around her, behind her, everybody playing defense. She's not going to get a strikeout every time. But to have somebody like that that you know you can throw out there in that circle every single night and she's going to get the job done, that's got to be invaluable.
It's huge. Anybody that knows anything about softball and baseball, pitching is where it starts.
Yeah.
The good thing about softball is we can run the same pitcher out there every night, where baseball, you have a little bit of pitch count and rotation and stuff.
Right.
The one thing I love about Hannah is she came in as a freshman. She pitched extremely well. She came in as a sophomore. She pitched better. And she is dialed in this year. She wants to make this team better. She's worked hard. And she trusts the seven behind her, okay? She's not a pitcher that she knows – she doesn't have to strike everybody out.
Sure.
Because we've got a good center fielder. We've got a good shortstop. We've got a good left fielder. So she knows when we're calling pitches, there might not be a pitch to call because we're trying to strike the girl out. Maybe it's just a routine ground ball to second base. Maybe it's a changeup where we want to hit a pop fly out the center field.
Yeah.
You know,
because
we're not going to strike everybody out. It's just not possible. It'd be great if we could have, you know, 21 outs and 21 of them are strikeouts, but it's not going to happen. So I think she's learned to utilize her defense, throw a drop curve when it means, and then just have the girl roll her hands over and hit a weak ground ball to shortstop and get that out that way.
The Maumee Athletic Boosters meet the first Wednesday of each month at 7 p.m. in the High School Learning Commons. If you'd like to support the student athletes at Maumee High School and Maumee Middle School, you should consider getting involved. To find the full meeting schedule, find them on social media. We'll see you at the next meeting. Talking about Hannah being a junior, your junior and sophomore classes are absolutely loaded. You've got kids like Autumn, like Hannah, like Taylor, like Julia, like Rain. And then you get a senior like Bryn Mayer in there, who's just been consistent for you through these now 4 years. That makes it easier. I mean, obviously it makes it easier because you've got talent coming back. You'd rather have talent coming back than not. How does that affect your expectations, how you do things in this off season, getting ready for this season? Does it make things different?
It does a little bit. Only having one senior this year with Bryn, I think she's motivated because I think she wants to go out as a winner as a senior.
Yeah.
The rest of the program, I think they realize that, you know, winning the last 2 years as much as we did with district titles, I can tell you the junior class wants to go out as four-time district champions. That's one of their goals, which is good to have. The best part about Bryn is she is by far one of the best leaders I think we've had. Talking to the girls, working with the girls. She's constantly working with other girls on, you know, philosophies, you know, maybe run of the bases and stuff like that, especially the younger ones. She's taken Taryn and Lily under wing as freshmen. And even Lucy Porter, you know, Lucy's out there and she's working with her and stuff like that. And I think Bryn is just a great teacher of the game along with being a good leader. Yes.
That goes back to kind of what you were saying before, having that player-led team. And I've heard it from you. I've heard it from Raph and TJ in the basketball. I've heard it from Evan. Like, everybody says that. And having a kid like Bryn is huge because it takes a load off your shoulders. And, you know, it's just like being a parent. You know, you can say everything you want, but their friend, their peer says it, and it means something completely different. So that's Invaluable. And
that's one thing I love about this team is if somebody makes a mistake or misses a sign or misses a cutoff, the girls will walk over and talk to them, but they don't take it personal. It's not like, oh, you're yelling at me because I made a mistake. No, they're trying to correct you. They're trying to coach you. It's almost like having, you know, another coach out on the field.
Right.
Which is awesome.
It almost seems weird. Like I had to kind of hesitate and stop myself and really sit and think about it. Like, you know, Taylor's only a junior and Julia's only a sophomore and Autumn's only a junior. And to think about what these girls have already accomplished, they did it at such a young age. That's just why you don't see that a lot in softball, do you?
No, you don't. You don't see the success that these girls have had at the varsity level as quick. And I think a lot of it is because they've worked so hard and they've played high level competition through their travel ball years.
Okay.
And I think that has a lot to do with it because one thing that I've noticed from coaching is a lot of freshmen will come in and play high school ball and they were good at travel ball, but they play against their own age. So they're playing against 10U, 12U, 14U. These girls did it as freshmen and sophomore playing against 17 and 18 year old kids that are going to college.
Yeah.
That's huge. That shows me that they were prepared coming into high school, not only from whatever they did with their travel ball team, but with their parents too. Some of these, you know, some of these kids have worked with their parents a lot to where you can tell they just knew the game coming to high school.
How important is that travel ball aspect to everything? I mean, obviously we want girls like Rain and Taylor, Taryn, you know, they excelled on the basketball court. You know, some of these girls excel on the soccer field as well. But you also want them to be able to have that travel ball experience as well. Can you talk about how you as a coach kind of balance those two things and maybe how important it is to have them in that travel ball experience as well?
Yeah, I think it's very important to have them in travel ball for our season because we only get them 2.5 months out of the year as a coach because the spring season is so condensed. Yeah. I mean, it starts February 20th and we're going to be done in the middle of May, the end of May, depending on how far we run. So my thought is go play travel ball, high quality travel ball. I am not going to change your swing in that short period of time. I'm just not.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to do you any good because to try to break a girl's swing down in March, it could be the middle of April by the time we get them there. So my thought is I have a philosophy. You're going to hitting coaches. You're going to pitching coaches. I'm going to teach you what they're teaching you. Okay.
Right.
So I know some of their hitting coaches. So like Taylor Smith, I know her hitting coach. Taryn Pyle, Autumn Guger, I know their coach. So I'm using their lingo and their language to help them.
Right.
Because if I bring them in and say, okay, well, you're going to do it my way, I'm probably going to mess them up by the time the season starts.
Sure.
Because they've been doing this because they're with their travel ball coaches for, you know, 10 months out of the rest of the year where I get them 2 months.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I think travel ball is important because you're playing against different kids. You're playing against higher competition.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing against some of your teammates. Like, you know, Taylor will play against Julia and stuff like that. And I think that's good for them to play against each other along with each other. But I also think it's very important not only play travel ball, but they still need to do the basketball. They still need to do the soccer. They still need to do the volleyball for the city of Maumee and the school of Maumee, because without multi-sport athletes, we don't field a lot of those teams.
Right.
So it is a hard balance, especially because you got somebody like Taylor and Rain that are playing, you know, 50, 60 games over the summer. But you still want them to do basketball. You still want them to do other sports. And it is a challenge just because of what we do all over the summer, basically. So,
sure. So how important is it? I know this is a recent rule change. It used to be at Maumee, if you were in season, you can do anything else other than that sport.
Yeah.
Now they've changed the rules to where a kid can do open gyms with the approval of their in-season coach for that following season. So you, I'm sure you've had kids like Taylor and Rain and Taryn come to some of those softball open gyms. How much has that changed things for us here at Maumee to have that rule change?
I think it's changed tremendously, and I think it's a good thing as long as we don't burn the athletes out. That was my only fear is I didn't want Taylor going to basketball 6 days a week and then coming to open gym on Sunday when that might have been her only day off.
Right.
I just don't want to burn the student athletes out. I still think it's a good thing because when you're playing multiple sports, you've got to be able to do that, especially when you're looking at softball, when you're looking at hitting a ball.
Yeah.
Timing and balance is everything.
Yeah.
So if you take about 3 or 4 months off, you're going to struggle. So, but I'm sure basketball is the same way with foul shooting. Soccer is the same way with footwork. You know, all the other sports, they still need to do it. I think it's a great concept that we had. I'm just afraid that you have some of these athletes that you'll burn them out if they do all the sports at once.
The Mir newspaper has been a supporter of IMA from the very beginning. If quality journalism is important to you, please consider becoming a subscriber. You can head to their website at themirnewspaper.com to find more information on becoming a traditional print or digital subscriber. So how do you, as a coach, is there something that you can do? I'm sure you've had a kid or two who have shown signs of burnout, you know,
yes.
Whether that's early in the season or late in the season. What can you do as a coach? And do you have any advice for parents who might be seeing a kid get burnt out? What can you do or what can we do to help either prevent that or kind of mitigate it if it's happening?
Yeah, basically take a little break. I'll tell them to take a little break.
Yeah.
Calm down, relax, take a step back and look at it. I let parents know because some of these kids are driven by parents. They want to, you know, their parents right. want them to be the best.
Right.
They got to understand that you only get 4 years of high school sports.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah.
Most of these kids are not going to play in college. None of them are going to play professional because for softball, we don't have a professional softball league that I know of, or at least anything that they're going to be doing anytime soon.
Right.
So take a step back. First thing is first is your grades should come first.
Yeah.
Because that's what colleges are going to look like or look for.
Yeah.
And so, and we had some girls in the past that have got burnout and stuff like that. So if I notice that, I'll sit down and talk to them and say, hey, you know, what do you need me to do? Take a little break, you know, go home and talk to mom and dad and, you know, make sure you're mentally prepared for the next day.
The one thing I've loved about you, and this is something I saw with my daughter, Evelyn, with you, is how open you are to have those conversations with the kids. I graduated high school in the mid 90s and I didn't feel like it was just a different time, you know, so mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I got that with my coaches. It's a different day. It's a different age. Is that something that you concentrate on, is being so open and being so approachable for your kids? Because I think you're one of the most approachable coaches I've ever been around.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think building a relationship with the student athletes is the most important part. Comes back to the trust thing and being open. I learned real quick as a high school coach, kids will see right through you if you're not honest with them, and they'll know that. So be honest with them right up front. And have that. Sometimes they're hard conversations to have.
Sure.
They really are. To sit there and tell somebody that maybe they're not good enough to play varsity, or maybe they're not good enough to play a game that they love, that's a hard conversation to have.
Yeah.
But also, if you look at the real world, when you go to a job interview, you hear that sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah.
So not only is my job as a part of my job is to get them ready to play softball, it's also to get them ready for the real world.
Yeah.
We're trying to raise young women here.
Yeah.
Okay. And we know that the real world is kind of tough sometimes. So my thought is have that conversation with their, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. And then they're like, okay, I'm going to go to the real world. Yep. I remember when Coach Jones told me this, or Coach Jones, you know, corrected me on this. And, you know, if it makes them a better person, then I'm good with it.
Yeah. We're extremely lucky to have the Pride of the Panthers helping us make memories for our students. There aren't many communities or schools who have a group of talented photographers at almost all of our kids' events and games. You can follow them on Facebook by searching Pride of the Panthers. So we talked a little bit about the NLL just before. This is our second year going in the NBC. How has that transition been? How has that benefited the program? Have there been any detriments to the program? Now that we know what we're facing in the NBC and how it goes, what's now your take a year into it? 2 years,
yeah,
2 years.
Yeah, I think it's benefited our program and all the other ones because the mental part When you go into the games, I'll be honest with you, we would go to Perrysburg, we'd go to Anthony Wayne on softball, and on the bus trip, there was no they had no thought that they were going to win the game, ever. Yeah. We're going to Anthony Wayne, we're going to lose again.
Right.
So I think that mindset helped. I also think even in the NBC, we have some damn good pitchers.
Oh, yeah. And
really good coaches still.
Yeah.
So I think what helped us going into the league is a couple of years ago, we were, I don't even know what we're like, 4-10 in the league. But then we go into tournaments and we beat Lake, we beat Otsego in the tournament, knowing that we were going to be playing them in the league the following year. So I think that helped us going into our first year. Oh, you know what? We played these guys and we played them well in the tournament. So going into it, there's still tough teams in our league that we're going to struggle with. But I think in the back of their mind, they know we can compete every day. And I think that's the biggest thing.
That's the one thing, and you know, with Evelyn being a basketball player, it was, you know, and even as her dad, you go to play those Anthony Wayne and Perrysburg, and you really want to say, yeah, we might have.
Yeah.
At a certain point, it's not. It's the question is how much are we going to lose by? Can we keep this within, you know, 50 points in basketball? Can we keep this within, you know, 6 or 7 runs in softball? So even if we don't win, and we're not going to win every NBC game. But how much different is it? And this is probably part of that whole attitude thing, the whole mentality thing you're talking about, knowing that we just have a chance. We've got a chance coming into every one of these games. That's got to be just a ginormous change for these kids.
Yeah, and that is because when you wake up every morning and you look at who am I playing today? Well, you know, we got a chance. Right there, you've already told yourself you can. You know, we have a phrase that, you know, softball – can't is the worst word you can use in sports. If you tell yourself you can't do something, you're not going to do it.
Right.
So that's one word I'll make the kids run if I hear him say that word.
I love
it. If you tell yourself you can't hit a ball, then you've already failed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell yourself every day. But it was tough. I mean, I would remember getting on the bus going to Anthony Wayne and tell myself, we're probably not going to win, or at least play. We might not even play 5 innings. We might get run ruled because that's how good they were. It wasn't because we were not a good team. They were just that much better.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best part about being in the new league is they know that they can compete every single day and they have that chance in the back of their mind. You're not, you know, it's a positive thing.
I think we've seen that change, that turnaround in every one of our athletic programs at Maumee. Yep. It's
absolutely
incalculable how much that means. So you said it. And I've always said this to everybody about the NBC, the change to the NBC. It's not that we're going to an easier league. We're going to a league that we're more competitive in. There are still Oak Harbor, Eastwood. I mean, there are some darn good teams in this conference. So as we're coming into the season, as you look over the NBC, who are the teams we need to watch out for this year? Who are going to be the teams that are going to challenge us at the top?
Well, obviously Oak Harbor, because they're always good. They were the, you know, reigning champions last year. They spanked us pretty good a couple times last year. They did lose a little bit of talent, but they've always pretty good. Lake, I think, is going to be the team to beat.
Okay.
They got a couple transfers from Rossford, and they got this freshman named Parker Dart that's coming in that's pretty good.
Okay.
So that'll be a good team. Eastwood is always good.
Yeah.
So those are the top three teams. But I think right now, I think it's probably out of Oak Harbor or Lake.
Okay.
The two that we really need to pay attention to,
Okay. How do you set up knowing that, you know, and maybe this isn't true so much for softball as it is for some of the other sports, because we are now the big fish in that pond. Do you set up your non-conference and you scrimmage Perrysburg and Anthony Wayne, so you're facing those big teams. Do you consciously try to get your non-conference to be a little bit bigger, a little bit more challenging, because you know you're going to need that?
Yes. So one of the things we did this year is we've scrimmaged Perrysburg, Anthony Wayne, two of the best teams and best pitchers in the league or in the state.
In the state,
we got St. Ursula tomorrow, who have a great pitcher.
Oh,
her last name is Bauer. She throws about 65. And then we have Whitmer on Wednesday.
Wow.
So the thought was we're going to have 4 scrimmages real quick to find out how good we really are and what we need to work on. And we still did do a good non-conference. We're playing Southview. We're playing Northview. We've got Springfield.
Okay.
And then this year we're going down to the Priebus tournament, which we were invited to. So it's basically a tournament where like they take like the top 16 teams from each division and they play. Wow. So we're playing like Matthews, we're playing Elyria Catholic, and I can't remember the other team, but they were like 24-4 and 26-6. Whoa. So we're still playing a good, hard non-league schedule.
Yeah.
Because the goal is obviously, like we did a couple of years and last year, is get that nice little run at the end.
Right.
And my thought is you're not going to get better if you're not playing really good quality pitching, solid coach teams. Yes.
Right, right. So what are the goals? What are the expectations for this season for Malmy? I mean, obviously, a three-peat is got to be there. But other than that, what are goals and expectations?
Yeah, three-peat is one of them. They want to win the league. They think okay. This is the year where we could probably do it, which, you know, it's going to be tough because Lake's going to be good. Oak Harbor's going to be good.
Sure.
But, I mean, we were 10-4 in the league last year. We were right up there.
Yeah.
Oak Harbor beat us twice. We lost one to Eastwood and lost one to Genoa. That's part of their goal. They want a three-peat for sure. They want to make a state run. They want to make it either to the Elite Eight or Final Four.
Okay.
And then obviously back-to-back 20-win seasons, because last year, and I still can't confirm this, but I think it's the first 20-win season for Maumee softball history.
Okay.
Last year was, and I know okay. They want to do that again this year because they want to be able to say they did back-to-back 20-win season. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, you make it to the regional and you got to think, okay, this is fantastic. You know, we're one of the, what would that be at that point? Eight best?
Eight, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, one of the eight best teams in the state. But you walk away with a loss and a loss is still a loss. What have you and what have the girls learned from these last two seasons, those season-ending losses in the region that can maybe help this team kind of get over that hump? And I hate to say get over that hump.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, you're back-to-back district champs. That's nothing to sneeze at. But to kind of get that, to keep that rolling.
Well, the one thing I told the girls not only 2 years ago and last year, if you look at the two teams we lost to 2 years ago, Talmadge, they ended up winning it all. And
yeah.
Then last year, Bryan finished second. So
yeah.
They both made it to the – so what I tried to explain to them is, yes, we got here. Be happy. Don't be satisfied. But see the teams that beat us. If we can knock them off, then we have a chance to make it to that next step. Like Talmadge was a really good team.
Yeah.
Which we, you know, if we don't make a couple mistakes early, we might win that game. And right. Then last year, I think we rolled into Bryan and thinking that we played him earlier in the year, we got a lot of hits. Then it kind of carried into like, oh, hey, this is Bryan. But that pitcher is going, if I'm not mistaken, I think she's going to like North Carolina or something like that on a scholarship.
Yeah.
So we lost to two really, really good teams. But what I try to explain to them, if we want to beat those really, really good teams, we got to focus on the little things, which is what we've done a lot this year in practice.
Okay.
Is we focus, we started a little phrase, I can't remember, I'm trying to think of it. Practice. I can't think of the phrase right now. It's basically keep practice until you can't get it wrong, basically.
Okay.
So
okay.
Keep practicing, you practice until you can't get it wrong. There's a phrase that I'm drawing a complete blank right now. But, yeah, so it's the little things they're working on. You know, it's the little bunts. It's the little, you know, your angles around first to second. Delay steals. If you were at the Bryan game last year, they delay steal on us like three times.
Okay.
The little things like that is we're starting to work on, yes.
And when you get to that point in the season, when you get to that point in your program, those are the things that is the difference.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Between the really good teams and the great teams.
And some of it is experience too. If you look at Talmadge, they have been in that situation
yeah.
a lot more than we have.
Yeah.
So if you go in there, yeah, it was great to be there, but they'd had kids that have won state championships before.
Yeah.
You know, Bryan had been there a couple of years ago also. So I think as we start keep getting there, you know, maybe that deer in the headlights thing won't show up. Which I'm not sure if it did, you know, last year against Bryan. I think we just lost to a better pitcher in Taya last year. She right. pitched outstanding.
Yeah.
And she for did sure. for the rest of the tournament. There's a reason why they made it to the championship game. So.
All right. Well, that's all I got for you.
Okay.
So I really do appreciate you taking the time with me to speak before the season starts. I know this is an exciting season. It's going to be another great season for the Maumee Girls softball team. So good luck this season. And again, thank you for taking the time with me.
Well, thank you. I want to thank you for everything you do. I know it's very time consuming to do these calling games and all that. So I want to thank you and Darcy, because I know you guys put a lot of time in for everything at Maumee. So we really appreciate what you guys do.
It's my pleasure. People like you definitely make it easy and definitely make it worth it. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That's the end of this episode of Inside Maumee Athletics. I'll be back soon with another in-depth interview. Good luck to the Panther softball team as they start their season on Monday, March 24th with a trip to Southview. I'm going to encourage everyone to check out the softball schedule and make their way to a game at Rolph Park, and you get to watch one of the best softball programs in Northwest Ohio. We're lucky to have our supporters, the Maumee Athletic Boosters, the Mirror newspaper, and Pride of the Panthers photographers. If you'd like to contact the podcast, email us at insidemaumeeathletics@gmail.com. You can find us online at our website, insidemaumeeathletics.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Inside Maumee Athletics on Facebook and YouTube. Until next week, thanks for listening.